Events in Egypt continue to spiral out of control, and the situation remains fluid. Over the weekend, thousands of Egyptians filled Tahrir, or Liberation Square, to demand that President Hosni Mubarak step aside. Internet is still down and cell phone service is severely compromised. There are fears that there's going to be some kind of a crackdown. Joining us now is Blake Hounshell, a managing editor for Foreign Policy magazine. Welcome back to our show.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
The police have erected barriers around Tahrir Square, but are allowing protesters in. They're checking IDs. From what you've been hearing, are there fears of that a major crackdown may be underway?
There's certainly fears, and actually I believe that it may be the army that set up the barricades. As far as we know, most of the police disappeared on Friday mysteriously. There have been some reports of police coming back, but mainly traffic police. So we haven't seen the kind of black geared riot police that really got in trouble and fought with the protesters all last week. It's really the army, and they seem to be mostly letting the protesters do their thing.
Although we've also seen a lot of people get out of prison, just leave prison. There's been a lot of looting, some of the ancient treasures of Egypt. Have the police tried to stop that from happening now? Are they going after the people who've escaped?
Well, actually, with the Egyptian Museum, which is where the mask of King Tut is and a lot of other priceless treasures, it was actually a human chain of ordinary people who first protected the museum from the looters, and then the army went in and began arresting people. So the police have really been AWOL, and I think for a lot of the protesters, that's a good thing. But if you ask me, it looks like there's a deliberate strategy by the Egyptian government to sow a little bit of chaos on the streets so that the middle and upper classes of Egypt call back for stability, and so that they decide that Hosni is better than anarchy.
Well, on the other hand, he faces the possibility that the West may cut off some aid to him or all aid to him. Shouldn't that be a concern if he continues to try to hold on to power?
I think it's definitely something that the Egyptian army is worried about. The U.S. gives about $1.3 billion a year to the Egyptian military, mainly for big equipment, tanks, jets, that kind of thing. But the problem with using that threat is that once you deploy it, you don't have it anymore. So I think that the United States is most likely to keep it as a threat hanging over Mubarak's head and not use it unless it absolutely has to.
Well, he's obviously using up all of his tear gas supply. Do you think that he learned any lessons from Ahmadinejad, or is the situation in Egypt very different from Iran, where we're really talking to a large degree about one-man rule as opposed to a system in which the whole clergy and similar-minded people have all sorts of stakes in keeping control in that government?
Well, it's an interesting comparison. I would say that Iran was a lot more repressive. They didn't hesitate to kill people, and from their perspective, it's something they had to do because there were literally millions of people in the streets. What's happening in Egypt is relatively small. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of people in a country of about the same size, 80 million people. But all the world's eyes are on Egypt right now, and despite the fact that they've shut off most internet access and banned Al Jazeera, these images are still getting out, and they will get out because Egypt's a much more open society than Iran.
I wonder so why. Go ahead.
I don't see how you could have the same kind of Tiananmen Square kind of massacre that you had in China, or the same kind of bloody crackdown and show trials that happened in Iran, just because Egypt's a much more open society.
Still, people are being killed in the hundreds, if not the thousands. I wonder why Mubarak feels it's so important for him to remain in power. He's 82 years old, probably has billions stashed away in Swiss bank accounts. And as I said, it's not the same as Iran. Why wouldn't he just accept the inevitable and move into comfortable exile?
Well, he said before that he'll stay in office until he breathes his last breath. He, by all accounts, is very stubborn, and he feels like he's daddy. He's the father of Egypt, and that things will go to hell without him in charge. And I think he really believes that. And if you can see what he's done over the last few days and the speech that he made on Friday, it's very paternalistic. It's very much, I'm here, I'm going to get this situation in control, and you know, kids, just you need to listen to me and stop whining.
Well, to some degree, it also depends on where the sympathies of the police and the military lie. The police, you say, were AWOL for a while. What is your sense of what the military would like to see happen?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. I think for now they're sticking by him. There's certainly been times of unrest in Egypt before, particularly in the 90s. So the people that are in charge probably remember those episodes, and they may think they can ride it out. The real test will become if Mubarak orders the army to shoot people in the streets. It's a very professional force, and they don't see that as their role. They're not trained for riot control, and they would be horrified, I think, at shooting their own citizens. So that's when I think you'd really see the army fracturing and refusing to obey orders.
It appears that Mohamed El-Baradei is the consensus alternative to Mubarak, but also he seems to have gotten the support from all of the competing opposition groups. Is that simply because he's the person who they think the West would be most amenable to seeing replace Mubarak?
Well, it's important to remember that opposition groups weren't really the known opposition groups weren't really those who organized these protests. It was really a sort of shadowy network of young activists, people under 30, very tech savvy, and they were the ones who really mobilized the streets, and the traditional opposition sort of came in afterward. El-Baradei wasn't even in the country until later in the week. So he may not be the consensus choice of everyone. He may be the choice of the established parties, but it's not clear that all those thousands of people that have come out to demonstrate really think much of him. He hasn't lived in the country for a number of years, and it's unclear what kind of support he has.
This is being described as mostly protests about the economy, but in one of the news reports I saw, people were carrying signs with a Star of David drawn over Mubarak's face. Is some of the anger directed toward his relations with Israel?
I think that's definitely one of the long-standing complaints that Egyptians have had. It shouldn't surprise any of your listeners that there's a lot of anti-Israel feeling in Egypt, and Mubarak is seen as someone who is too close to Israel and too solicitous of Israel's security requirements. And the same goes for his new vice president, Omar Suleiman, who's the longstanding spy chief who he would go to Gaza and negotiate ceasefires between Hamas and Fatah, the other party there. And both of those guys are seen as Israeli stooges in some quarters.
There's talk about a million people joining the rally tomorrow. There's already, if there isn't a nationwide strike, which is being called for tomorrow, pretty much everything is closed down. Does the government just hope that the citizens will get tired of all of the disorder and things will die down after a few weeks?
I think they're hoping that the protesters will sort of punch themselves out. And if you watch Egyptian state television and look at the newspapers, it's clear that they're banking on middle-class people, ordinary people, becoming fed up with the kind of rioting and looting that's happening in some parts of the country and scaring them about what it would be like to have a group like, for instance, the Muslim Brotherhood in control of the country. But I think that there's such widespread hostility to Mubarak at this point. He's really lost his legitimacy across all social groups, economic groups in Egypt, and I don't see how he can survive ultimately. He may last for a lot longer than we think. I don't think he's going to step down tomorrow. He's a stubborn guy, but I don't see him in power, next year.
Blake Hanschel is a managing editor for Foreign Policy Magazine. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.